Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily. We were back with you this afternoon in the studio after the Christmas break. Happy New Year. We're within the cut-off.
Very much so, yeah.
And what did we bring you? Well, we brought you Danny Kelly. We decided to take a look at all 20 teams. We just about squeezed them all into the Premier League. Bit of a state of play as the Premier League returns post-World Cup. We also spoke to Christophe Terreur, a Belgian football expert, who told us how Scott Parker's move to Club Bruges, a club still, of course, in the Champions League, came about. And how
we told him the reason why.
Yeah, we did. And he was quite delighted. So that, we had a bit of a chat. Obviously, we caught up and had some weird and wonderful stories post-Christmas. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. A very happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
We're
to
within
you.
The cut-off.
Yes.
Has that moved? We always set the cut-off, we felt, on the 15th.
I know. A listener did ask me, actually. I said Thursday.
Oh, you've gone.
I've gone early, haven't I?
There's a pretty good chance if you kind of see someone who's an acquaintance that you're not going to catch up with them this week.
Yeah.
I mean, you give them to the start of next week or not?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're not going to wrestle anybody at the ground.
No, I won't anyway.
Chase them down the street or anything.
Definitely
anyway.
Not.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to talk extensively about our clubs.
Well, all clubs. We're going to look at all 20 clubs in the Premier. We're going to work our way down the table, though it'll pain, obviously, me and Danny, to start with Arsenal at the top. But they are playing the best football and they're right at it at the moment and completely deserve to be there. So we'll start and we'll work our way. Your team, if you're a fan of a Premier League club, we'll look at the state of play, what you need to sort out, maybe what you need to buy, we'll endeavour to do that when Danny joins us shortly.
I've got a selection of other stories in the meanwhile, though.
Hmm.
Did you see that actress Jacqueline Josser is to return to EastEnders? Tyson Fury is delighted. Josser.
Oh, yeah. You're Josser. I mean, I suppose if he met her, he'd be very tempted. All right, Jacqueline, you're Josser. I suppose he would, wouldn't he? Yeah,
honestly.
I really thought of that. Yeah.
Just a thought, why is Infantino so dreadful?
Well, I mean, 03717.
That stadium naming idea is such
It's an odd one. I mean, it's a strange idea, and it puts a kind of pressure, doesn't it, on different nations because, you know, you might find that, if you've not seen this, Gianni Infantino, ever the chancer, has decided, not only has he turned up to have a selfie within sight of Pelé's open casket. He has also suggested that a club in every country in the world has to name or should name a stadium after Pelé. Which at sort of top level, around naming rights, etc., etc., it becomes quite difficult. I know it's
also
a lovely idea,
Pelé,
but it's not
wonderful,
particularly practical.
And also, the Pelé Wembley Stadium, that's not going to happen, is it?
I mean, Argentinian fans have been pointing out that they're probably likely to name a stadium after Maradona first, you would imagine.
I'd say so, really.
And so what happens in Italy, say Milan embrace it, and it becomes the Pelé San Siro, and yet we're struggling here, and the only people willing to pick it up is, I don't know, Shep Shed Dynamo. And then it's going to look like it's going to look like disrespect. Do you know what I mean? It's going to look like a mark of disrespect. So it's
really bad, isn't it?
Unlike Gianni Infantino, it's massively ill thought out. There are plenty of other ways to mark the great man's passing. I was part of a minute's applause for him.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
The other day, and I'm sure a lot of people were as well, and there'll be other ways you can do that, but a kind of strange edict to name a stadium in every country in the world after Pelé is odd. But we will be with Tim a little bit later on in Rio as we bid Pelé farewell. We'll also look, as we said, at some of the other transfer stories from South America. A lot of business could potentially be done with Premier League clubs from South. A lot of young South American kids being picked off by the big boys in this country.
That always happens, you know. Yeah. How many of them will make it is another story.
Mm.
Chicken Inn FC in Zimbabwe have been voted the daftest footy club name. Doesn't say where, what poll it was, just a little piece in the Sun.
Yes.
Beating Ghana's Mysterious Dwarfs, which is again quite a strange name for a football team.
Which is the song title that Peter Andre rejected, if I remember right.
Chicken Inn FC. Every week they field 11 different players and spices.
They probably do. The big story, though, Andy, talking of Chicken Inn FC, I don't know how this made the... This is how it appeared in the papers today, right? This was a news story. I mean, it's not, you can say it's not a particularly busy news week.
Yeah.
It says, a family of four were left disappointed when their KFC party bucket arrived with just three pieces of chicken instead of the advertised 30.
That is a bit of a shock.
Yeah, dad of two, Steve, ordered the $36.99 match day party through a delivery company, and it was missing the sides of popcorn, chicken, fries, coleslaw, gravy, and a 1.5-litre bottle of Pepsi. So basically, he got three. Somebody. I told you. Bob Fleming.
Oh,
three bits of chicken. That's not a news story, though, Andy, is it?
It's not really a news story.
It's a complaint of delivery company or the Colonel.
Strange,
we don't care.
It?
Anyway, I don't know if they've sorted it out for him, but maybe you can bring us more on that story throughout the afternoon. A couple of things to get you involved with. What about this? This is golfer Scott Stallings.
Really?
You know, golfer Scott Stallings.
Does he keep you waiting?
I think he probably does. Gets done a lot for time wasting. Slow play. Golfer Scott Stallings.
Can we play through, Scott?
Yeah. No, wait a minute. Thought he'd been snubbed for the Masters when Augusta Chief sent his invite to the wrong Scott Stallings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's
more than one
Scott Stallings. Yeah, that's right. There's two Scott Stallings. Yeah. The three-time
that's
PGA.
That's quite a hard thing to say.
The three-time PGA Tour winner, 37, checked his mailbox five times a day during his anxious wait for the letter. He was finally put out of his misery when he received a social media message from his namesake, including pictures of his invite to April's major. It read, I'm 100% sure this is not for me. I play, but wow, nowhere near your level. So it's the old great Scott Stallings switcheroo. So
he should have kept quiet and just turned up. It would have been great.
The other fella would have been like that new movie, wouldn't it? The old Phantom of the Open, whatever it was. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. But anyway, the real Scott Stallings will be there. Because of other Scott Stallings. And if you're called Scott Stallings, do get in touch this afternoon. And I promise to stop saying Scott Stallings. But the reason to bring it up is...
Scott Stallings on line one.
sometimes you get the wrong mail, don't you? You just get the wrong mail. It could be electronic or it could be through the post.
Mm, so more likely through the post.
To your name. It can happen. So if it's happened to you, what was the upshot when you got the wrong mail, especially if you're Scott Stallings? TalkSport.Scott. I can't even. TalkSport.ScottStallings. TalkSport.com. Text 1889. Tweet to TSHNJ. That's TSHANDJ.
Did you read about the Linguistic World Cup?
I didn't know.
It sounds like something Max and Charlie would do on the warm-up. The final was Shenanigans versus Codswallop. That's right up Max's street, isn't it?
What a game that was. Who won?
Shenanigans.
Did they really?
Yeah. Semi-final. Oh, I can't tell you what the semi-final was because one of the words is very rude.
Oh, okay.
Shenanigans beat rude word in the final.
Okay.
And Codswallop beat Higgledy Piggledy.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah.
So I bet the draw's a lot of fun, like the first round draw when you've got about 50, 60-odd names.
It was a round of 16. It was Flounce versus Flibbity Gibbet, Cantankerous versus... I told you Max would love this, wouldn't he? Mm. Cantankerous versus Shenanigans. We'd be asked to referee this.
Yeah.
Discombobulate versus Rhubarb, Codswallop versus Noggin, Whippersnapper versus Scallywag.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to Talk Sport. This is the
games to be played. Yeah.
This is Gianni Infantino's new idea. All football teams must change their name in the latter stages of the Club World Cup.
Ridiculous.
So if you're a Liverpool fan, you'll be called Flibbity Gibbet if you get through to it. Okay, well, maybe we should get the first round draw, Andy. We'll give it the full. I think we've exhausted it, really. I think that will do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs
Daily Podcast.
Danny Kelly joins us. He often does to kind of look normally at the weekend's games. There's been so much football since we last spoke that we thought we would do something slightly differently today. We're going to take a look at all 20 clubs in the Premier League, assess their chances of getting better, maintaining what they're doing, staying up, etc., etc., what they need to cut out, etc. Here he is. It is Danny Kelly. Hi, Dan.
Hello, men. Happy New Year and all that.
Indeed. What's your cut-off, Danny? Ours is the 5th. We think the 15th. After that, you do get wrestled to the ground and told to shut up.
I think the first 3 days you're allowed to really give it plenty, and you can still do that, Paul. After that, most people have gone back to work, and the happiness of the new year has been somewhat diluted. the bottles of Baileys have been put to one side, and they're back to their work. I'm still reeling from the fellow only got 3 pieces of chicken. I'm surprised at you, Paul. I know you know your way around a tune. We should have come back with 3-piece chicken and chips by Ranking Trevor, a great record.
Oh, yes. We'll dig it out before 2 o'clock to remind
Ranking
the listeners.
Trevor, 3-piece chicken and chips.
Just for the dad of three, Steve, who's lacking 27 bits of chicken and all the sides. Anyway, it pains us all to start the very peak of the Premier League table. But you have to admit, the Goons are playing remarkably well.
I've been saying it for months.
I'm enjoying watching them play. They're that good. They are lovely to watch. Very easy on the eye.
Well, they're fantastic, aren't they? There's no other word for it. And I don't find my words turn into dust in my mouth, because you have to speak the truth. You have to reflect the evidence your own eyes. You've got a manager who loves the club. You've got a mixture of players they've brought through themselves and more experienced ones they've bought, including ones who've won things with Manchester City. They're playing on the front foot, but the best thing about the team is the balance. Defence, midfield, attack. You can see what they're trying to do in each section of the team. They've been lucky not to have too many injuries, but that's always random. And they're playing beautiful stuff. And people, were saying, well, of course, the World Cup break has come at a very bad time for them. I think they scored 8 goals since they come back in 2 games.
Yeah, and that's without Gabriel Jesus.
Well, I've always liked Eddie Nketiah. I think he's a good finisher. He may not have all of the bells and whistles of Gabriel, but he will put the ball in the net for them.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, they're one of 3 teams that are playing well in the Premier League. Everybody else is has patches, and there are teams that are doing better than you thought they would, and a lot of teams doing a lot worse. But they are, no question, they deserve to be where they are.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like everybody's been saying, looking for reasons why it may all fall apart. One of them was Gabriel Jesus being out for 3 months, and the break was another one, but they've come back strong, as you've said. And you can't really see any reasons at the moment. I mean, if they buy Mudryk and they strengthen in January, it's getting more. If you want to find reason for them to blow up, it's getting increasingly more difficult, Danny.
It is. The only reason is if you look at Manchester City's bench. I was looking at the other day that the bench they had out for their league game, the first league game back, would finish third in the league. It would finish behind Manchester City and Arsenal, with all due respect to Newcastle, Liverpool, etc. And it's just the relentlessness of City's performances. Although the Arsenal don't have the distraction of the Champions League. And that's really important. City may decide this is the year. It looks like Paris Saint-Germain are going to try and win the Champions League again with those 3 forwards, which can't happen. It's a real opportunity for Manchester City to win it. And maybe that will just take their eye off the ball slightly.
They're the only thing to stop
Arsenal.
Two Spurs fans.
Tonight's game will be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah,
and Newcastle have done terrifically well.
Well, on to them in a moment. Good. But we're both, I think all of us are saying that, Arsenal can maintain this. And they've got a good chance of staying where
they are. Odegaard's pretty key.
Yeah, no, absolutely. An injury to him could be. But anyway, we shall see. And Partey as well, but they missed him for a part of the earlier part of the season. Anyway, Man City, as you said,
bit at home, aren't they?
Yeah, which is a bit strange, and maybe they are thinking that this is the year for the Champions League. But as you've said, Danny, it's the depth of that squad as we get into the sort of the latter stage of the season could make the difference.
We're all insane about Haaland, because what he's doing, I don't think we've seen done in the Premier League before. And yet they've got a World Cup winner as backup, as centre forward. They've got the wide players. We know what they do. Phil Foden has a couple of average games. They can bring in Jack Grealish. And I know it's easy to laugh at Jack when you see the pictures of him You know, sometimes in a dressing gown with one slipper on in the street, you remember that one, among others. But what a fantastic footballer he is. And if you could just inject Jack Grealish into a team, then I think, you know, it's almost pointless saying it. They are the result of a great manager having a long time to put together a fantastic squad. And, you know, it's contrary to what Chelsea have done over the years, where they've had a variety of managers and loads of great players. They've been City's is much more of a process. And the only thing that will stop them winning the title is that statistically, Arsenal should win it now, because that start has rarely been bettered.
Yeah.
I mean, what have they dropped so far? One defeat and two draws. They've dropped nothing. It's incredible.
No, I know. And if they win tonight, they'll have a 10-point lead over City. You know, that's all right, the game in hand, but that takes a bit of making up. Not that they haven't done it
before.
But
it means they can afford to lose to City twice and Newcastle and still win the title.
Yeah. On to Newcastle then, and ahead of the game tonight, which is seen as a real test for them at the Emirates. We're going to be talking about the game in a bit more detail later on. But there's been quite a lot of pieces in the press today about the job Eddie Howe has done and how he's done it. But it's all taking shape for them, isn't it? They didn't go down the Galacticos route, which probably pours cold water on these Ronaldo if they get in the Champions League next season rumours. But yeah, I mean, it's been done with a big chunk of money going into the club that good wasn't there before, but good recruitment and starting
funny
to get
enough, spending a lot of money doesn't seem to make a difference. It can make you worse, you know.
Yeah, on to Chelsea in a moment. But but yes, I mean, I think Eddie Howe should take an awful lot of praise for the job he's done so far.
Look, he's a really good coach, isn't he? Now, it hasn't worked out everywhere for him, but that's standard. No coach, I mean, maybe Guardiola, has been successful everywhere that they've been. And he just knows how to put a team together. And Newcastle teams traditionally have to play on the front foot. He's doing that. They're big and strong and physical. And that reminds me of good Newcastle teams of the past as well. And if you're a Newcastle fan, and I have to put up with Sean, don't I, on TalkSport quite a lot. However they got here, this is their moment in the sunshine, their best moment since Kevin Keegan's heyday. And they're ahead of schedule too, let's not kid ourselves. What Eddie Howe has done is to accelerate the process that was already in place with buying decent players by having a decent team. They're way ahead of schedule.
He's been
and
helped,
no reason to believe they won't finish in the top four either.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You think he's been helped by what, Andy?
By the fact the other teams aren't very good.
Well, yeah.
Well, you can only be as good as the other teams are bad. That's not a saying, I know. Manchester United then currently sitting.
You know, that is a classic example. They're 2 points behind Newcastle. And if they win, they could get, and Newcastle lose, they could be third. But no one's really convinced. Yes, they've improved. No question they've improved from last season. But, you know, they're getting away with it a bit, aren't they? They're not winning convincingly, but winning.
They've so completely upgraded their midfield. Casemiro, one or two people are a bit sniffy because he's, you know, coming up for 30 years of age, but he's a fantastic player, and he has absolutely cemented that midfield, allowing the talent of people like Rashford a more stable platform. I think Ten Hag dealt with the Cristiano Ronaldo situation brilliantly, and as a result, he's able to drop Rashford and bring him back and score a goal. It's all going well for them. And they're improving, Andy. Whether or not they're improving as fast as Manchester United fans would want, I don't know. When you say there's three teams playing well,
they are improving, but they're not. You know, take last
season. Are you talking about Brentford as the other one, yeah?
No, Brentford are on a very good run, but, you know.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. With me ticking and tip. I saw you see
me with me in that thing. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sports, and as requested by Danny Kelly off the back of the story of a man who ordered a 30-piece bucket of KFC but received just 3 bits of chicken, Danny, and that's exactly what, well, not the whole scenario, but it's about
great
3
story.
Bits of chicken.
Yeah, and this is 3-piece chicken and chips by Ranking Trevor from back in the day, as the DJs now say. Yeah.
Maybe it gives us less time to talk about Spurs, which is a blessed release. They find themselves fifth in the table after that. They stunk the place out against Aston Villa at the weekend. We won't spend too long on this. Everybody needs a fair crack of the whip. It all got very toxic at Tottenham, and that's unlikely to improve against Arsenal in about 10 days' time. But what's your reading of the situation? Briefly, Danny.
Absolutely. I have a lot. I've got plenty to say about it, and you can hear it on my podcast. But Simply, I've worked out now. Spurs have got a caretaker manager, and that never works in the Premier League. So they need to. Levy needs to say to him, right, sign this contract, or off you go. And they should not buy one player for Conte until he's signed a three-year contract. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Enough of this now. It's nonsense.
I think it's absolutely true. We get that old phrase, lame duck manager, and players are thinking, first, players are thinking, do I want to go there? If I don't know if he's going to be there or not. You know, how much of a shift am I going to put in if I don't know the manager's going to be here or not? It's not a good situation, is it? And there has been this sense, and I know you feel this because I listened to your podcast, that he feels like he's doing us a massive favour by being there. We should all be very grateful.
Yeah.
He may feel that, Andy, but he shouldn't say it in public because it just doesn't work for the football club. He said, what is his employer's thinking as he lays into the club week after week after week? Shut up, Antonio.
Yeah.
Get on with the gig and improve the players you've got as well. There's another piece of advice for you.
That's true.
Terrible situation.
I mean, it was a strange... I was at Brentford for the Boxing Day game and I'm sure you both saw it. And it was really odd. I mean, the first half, they didn't even turn up. The second half, they could have won the game.
Yeah.
But they're like a lot of teams. If they haven't got their key players like Kulusevski and Betancourt, they've got no creativity and that's a problem.
Yeah. I think the upstairs should take some of the blame as well. We haven't got time to explore that. That's for a later date. On to sixth. Are Liverpool still sixth? I think they are, aren't they? Yes. After last night. We're going to talk about Liverpool in a bit more detail with Tony Evans after those Jamie Carragher comments. But, I mean, they're bringing Gakpo in. I wonder if there'll be more business. Apparently, they can't play Monopoly, says Jurgen Klopp, but maybe a bit of churn wouldn't be a bad thing.
It's a strain, isn't it? They competing in the Premier League where everyone's trying to improve all the time. Don't forget, Liverpool were a couple of kicks away from winning all four trophies last year. Extraordinary season for them. It is something that fans find very hard to understand. And if you play sort of a football manager on the computer, you keep the same players for 10 years, but you just have to keep freshening these teams up. And Liverpool have left their midfield freshening, I think, a little bit late. Jurgen Klopp came up against exactly the same situation when he was at Dortmund, where the strain of constantly having to fight down Bayern Munich became, in the end, too much for the club, not just for him. He's a great manager. He knows what he probably has to do. But you cannot have transition seasons, as Chelsea are finding out, in the Premier League. The competition's too fierce. And so Liverpool are probably where they should be. And it would help if Darwin Nunez, who I think is going to be great, if he could find the net and not have them disallowed every now and then for VARs, you know.
Yeah, they finished last night with the one that was disallowed was unlucky. It was a good finish. Yeah. Brentford, though, were terrific.
Well, we move on to them. They are seventh. You've been seeing a lot of them.
Yeah, what a run they're on. They beat City. They beat West Ham away. Then they drew with Spurs, could have beaten Spurs. And then, of course, last night they dispensed with Liverpool, let's be honest. And they've got everything that Chelsea haven't got. They're collective. They fight. They battle. You know, you can see the effort that goes into it and the tactics as well.
Best team in West London, Andy?
Well, I don't know. Fulham might have something to say about that.
Yeah, you are the third best team in... can they maintain this? They did it last night about Ivan Toney. He's got an injury and he's got other issues going on at the moment.
I think it'd be difficult. And I think also Brentford are one of those teams that do tend to play better. My mate said the next game's against Bournemouth. He says to me, we'll probably lose that. And I think there's a feeling that...
They up their game against big sides.
I think they do.
But, I mean, what could they realistically achieve this season, Dan? I mean, they're seventh at the moment. That's conference plate country. Could they find themselves in Europe, or is that pushing it a bit?
No, it's not, because I think Andy's right. There's a very inconsistent Premier League, and that whole batch of teams around seventh, the Brentfords, the Fulhams, Chelsea ought to come out of their current torpor. Brighton, Palace, they're all decent football teams. And if Chelsea do continue to slip up, then the seventh place is available to them. Thomas Frank is clearly a very good manager as well. And also, he would make a very good double if anyone ever wants to impersonate Ian Danter, don't you think?
Yeah. And on to Fulham then, in eighth, who, again, doing fantastically well.
Especially at home.
Yes.
Struggling a bit away from home, so tonight will be interesting.
These teams are benefiting because some of the teams who ought to be doing a lot better, and I'm thinking about the Evertons and the West Hams, and it's a mystery to me what's happening with those two clubs, particularly West Ham, are vacating the bottom. They're mid-table because other teams are underperforming. But Fulham play some lovely football, don't they? And you know, as long as you, as Mitrovic continues to be a nuisance up front, they've got what every every team that's fighting against relegation at the start of the season. If you have someone who gets you 15 goals, then you'll finish mid-table in the Premier League. And Mitrovic has done all that for them so far. Not a great penalty more recently, but he's a good player.
Pellini has been a good bit of recruitment.
Yeah, he's been very good for them, hasn't he? Yeah, that's what their recruitment has been good.
But another example of the return of the headed goal, which I thought was going out of business a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And people remember to cross the ball again now, aren't they? You can head the ball into the net.
Yeah, you're allowed to.
Yes. On to Chelsea then, in heady ninth, Andy. This is not since Jose left.
I'm like Danny, I need a whole podcast to tell you everything that's wrong with Chelsea, and I can't get it in this particular section. Yeah. But one thing I will say is Reece James. I've never seen a team more dependent on one player. When he was out, they lost 5 out of 6 games. He comes back for 52 minutes. They're playing really well. I know it was only Bournemouth, but they're playing lovely football. It's all happening and everything. He goes off. Bournemouth nearly get a draw. And then the other day, exactly what they were before Reece James got, while he was out injured, they were
Andy,
terrible.
Before last season, before Haaland arrived, I described Reece James as the best player in the Premier League. You know, given his position, I think he is the best player in the Premier League. When he's fit and running, and it's no surprise Chelsea miss him. I guess the interesting thing will be how much they're going to spend this January. The way Todd Boehly lines things up, they could be banging out another huge amount of money during the spell.
He shouldn't be allowed to spend the money, honestly. Who spends 280 million to be worse? I could go through them. Cucurella, 65 million. He's about 30% of the player he was at Brighton. Sterling, he's a shadow, 50 million, shadow of what he was. Fofana, 2 games he's played for 70 million that did Leicester know he was made of glass. Koulibaly, he's League One at best. Bamier, 15 million in the shredder. They've just bought this bloke for 33 million from Monaco, and they've got Colwell at Brighton. They've got a left-sided, young centre-back. Yeah. Why are they buying another one? But they've got no right-back lined up to cover for James. Oh, God, don't. I mean, what is going on there?
You
definitely need. I definitely need to hear that podcast, Andy.
Yeah, we'll put him. Yeah, we'll get him on a Chelsea podcast. The other thing, very quickly, he did say to me was he can never see Graham Potter giving the players a rollicking. He can't see him doing a Neil Warnock or a Barry Fry.
I might be wrong.
He thinks they've got Mr. Barraclough, but they need Mr. Mackay, Danny. This is what he's saying. Well, Mr. Wainwright, the visiting.
I think it's hard to judge that. I think if you know the Chelsea squad of the last 15 years, which you know kept winning things, they were self-motivating. I think the current crop, I'm not sure where the motivation comes from, and if he doesn't get stuck into them,
they're outfought by every team they play, and that's not good enough. I mean, you know, they're going for Fernandes for 105 million. Why not buy Declan Rice for the same money? At least he's proven in the Premier League. You could buy this bloke from Benfica.
Caller. We are going to have to leave it there. That's Andy from Chiswick, the Chelsea fan. Look out for his podcast. Let's move on then to Brighton and Hove Albion. It's interesting what you say about players that leave Brighton and don't shine. We've had a little bit of that, and it's not been helped by the manager Basuma. But, I mean, it's great. We've taken... We've got one of the best midfielders last season in the Premier League for a song, and we've decided to turn him into Didier Zakora, which is an art form. I don't know quite how we've done it. Man who falls over his own feet on a regular basis. But anyway, Brighton and Hove Albion. We've heard Alexis McAllister say he's very happy there, enjoying life at the club. It feels like a club where people enjoy playing, and maybe that comes across. They don't quite enjoy it as much when they leave. The grass isn't always as green as they thought. But anyway, there they find themselves, mid-table in 10th. Danny, what can they achieve, you think?
That's the 10th place is, you know, mid table is probably what Brighton are looking at, but it is a testimony to the way they're run. If you don't have mega rich owners, the only thing you can bring to the table is strategy. And from the appointment of the managers to the recruitment of the players to the fact that they're not afraid to sell the players on so they can be useless at Spurs and useless at Chelsea. this is a strategy they've worked out years ago, and it's a strategy that's establishing them as a Premier League club. They look like they could be a yo-yo club. They're not, because they've thought it through. And provided you think it through and then you follow through on the thought and don't keep changing horses in midstream, as Brentford have proven, and Brighton are proving, you can still survive in the Premier League.
They are. It's like they're kind of, brushier Brighton, aren't they?
Are they still a bit light up front though? You know, this problem they've had, I don't know.
Yeah, but, and of course that's the piece of luck you've got to have. Somewhere you know, Fulham, I always come back to him, Fulham took a risk on Mitrovic because he's a volatile character. He's proved that he can score in the Premier League. Second time around, of course. And Brighton, they're probably searching and combing their computer models for somebody who can get the ball across the line. That is the hardest thing in football, obviously.
Let's very quickly squeeze Palace in before we head off for the travel. And there they find themselves in 11th. A better result the other day. Very unhappy Patrick Vieira over Christmas and New Year over the performances. But again, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, where do you see them, Danny? Do you see them going lower than 11th or maybe finishing a bit higher?
I don't think they'll go much higher, but their fans will probably be perfectly happy where they are. They're transformed, aren't they? Under Roy Hodgson, they were struggling to maintain, to keep their head above water. Patrick Vieira came in, and after initially having some struggles, has just managed. They've got brilliant forward players, and Zaha doesn't look like he's going anywhere. We'll see what happens. And he stiffened up the defence. I think they're another one who you just have to say, perfectly solid Premier League team. They weren't 2 years ago and they are now. That's good work.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mark Burcham has been in touch, former QPR and Millwall midfielder. He's a big QPR fan. He would like to point out that there aren't teams in West London. There's only one team in West London with a West London postcode, he says, and that is QPR, he would like to point out.
Okay, fair enough.
So, South West London, maybe we should go. Thank you, Birch.
Where's your manager going?
Aston, you'll be playing them, from what you've been saying, you'll be playing them next season. Aston Villa then, three words, new manager uplift. And who would have known that Unai Emery, a man of such experience, would make an instant impact at Villa?
Even if he can't decide whether he wants a car coat or a puffer jacket, has gone for kind of hybrid, hasn't he? And Andy, you're the rag trade person. I know we're wasting the nine minutes here. It was half puffer jacket and half ordinary coat. Very odd. But he is a good manager. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
You know. And you know, all right. At the moment, Spurs is like playing your Joker. But they were very good, I thought. They just played it right.
They'd done their homework, and he said afterwards, Emery, we'd looked at Tottenham, and this is what we. And then they just played it to the letter, didn't they? Really,
we looked at Tottenham, we had a laugh, and we went out and got the 3 points. Thanks very much, everybody.
So yeah, Villa, onwards and upwards. I mean, look, they're 12th at the moment. They feel more capable of sort of moving up the table.
There's a whole bunch of teams that could finish anywhere from. Yes. 12th to 7th, yes. 6th, that sort of thing.
You would think, that's true. Leicester
City. It's not quite as bad as the Championship, is it? Where Blackburn have lost a dozen games, is it? Or 14 games, and they're third.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
They may get like that eventually.
Leicester City then, after that disastrous start, a pretty solid 13th at the moment.
Yeah, unlucky last weekend.
Yes, indeed. I mean, again, you're seeing them now after that terrible start, so mid-table being a result, basically.
Proper footballers, haven't they? They've got. I mean, obviously, they've got to keep Valt Fass facing the right way.
Yeah, that's why I said he needs to do a Valt Fass.
He absolutely does, But you know, people like Harvey Barnes, these are top quality footballers, and they oughtn't to be in the position they're in. Brendan Rodgers is not going to panic, is he? He's been around far too long. And of course, Leicester's fans won't want them to be mid-table, but that, given the start they had, that would represent real progress this year, I'm afraid.
There must have been a temptation by the commentator last week to have done a look at his fast, just look at his fast, but he didn't really, did he? No. Now, Leeds have done a bit of business today from RB Salzburg, a club the manager knows, of course. Max Vober. They think it's all Vober. It is now, as Andy said earlier on. But he's coming to them.
They've worked together. He's gathering up players, Marsh, that he's worked with him before.
Yeah.
He's gathering up a number of players that he's worked with before. In other seasons, if teams were not so inconsistent as Andy pointed out, Leeds might be panicking, but they should have enough.
I'm not convinced. I think they are in that mix, that bottom
six, seven. They're currently on the same amount of points. They've played one game less than Bournemouth, but they find themselves on.
They're only 2 points off bottom three. So,
16 points at the moment.
It could go either way, I'd say.
Yeah, I think. I mean, having seen them earlier in the season in a game where Tottenham surprisingly were behind and came back into it to win. But I thought they were good in Aronson and others. They have good players.
They have a massive game tomorrow night against West Ham.
That's a big match. That's very true.
Ooh. I know who won't be watching that sort of fascinated by because we'll get to West Ham. Whoa. Yes,
Bournemouth. Yes. I mean, obviously the glaring problem.
I've
Gary O'Neill.
I've written their defensive coach must be Edvard Munch. Such a nightmare, really. Honestly, the way they defend
set pieces, an absolute disaster and a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you could see the panic every time there seems to be a corner against them or a ball into the box. You can sense the panic. So he's got to deal with that, Gary O'Neill, isn't he?
Well, Gary seems like a very decent fella, and the players responded to him when he was the caretaker manager. I really fear for them. I just don't think there's enough talent in the squad to keep them in this league. And I know what people are going to say, but they're above teams like West Ham and Everton who spent a fortune on their footballers. They've got systemic problems. Bournemouth's problem is that they just don't have enough really good players to keep them in this league. And I suspect they'll be one of the three drops.
OK, on to Everton then. On 16th, 15 points, 1 point above the drop zone, having played the same amount of games as all those teams.
Such a surprising result to get a point at City.
I mean, it was a good performance. And look, we'll discover tonight when they play Brighton at home. I quite fancy them tonight against Brighton at home. I don't know why. I just think this could be a bit of a springboard. It might be a full-on revival, might be a mini revival, but that should be.
I think that crowd will keep them up like they did last year.
Yeah, quite possibly, Danny. What do you think?
The crowd and Richarlison's endless efforts up front kept them up last time. There's no reason for them to be struggling like this. I mean, if Frank Lampard is any kind of a coach, then they've got enough players to be doing a much better than they are. I know that there's, because of the building of the new stadium, all the rest of it, there's some doubts about ownership and all that stuff. But on the pitch, they should be doing better. And I don't know whether Frank Lampard is a really good coach yet or not. He was good at Derby, average at Chelsea. This is not going so well, but they must pick up looking at the players they've got.
They're going to put a bit of faith in youth, aren't they? Ellis Sims, one of their young players. They've got him back on loan, and hopefully he can get a few goals for them. So we'll see how that.
They could do the Calvert-Lewin sort of firing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Staying fit. Yeah.
West Ham. I was half expecting the way football works these days to get a sort of a talk sport flash on my phone saying that David Moyes has gone, which might be a bit previous, but a lot of the West Ham fans of our acquaintance feel that the time is right. I think Mark Webster and others, Bob Ballard,
Tom Rennie,
all feeling like it's time to change.
He's done such a good job. It seems a bit harsh to me. But I'm not a West Ham fan.
I don't know what's going on there, because I had no hesitation in saying that I thought this was the best squad of West Ham players at the start of the season, when we were talking about it, that they'd ever assembled. Obviously back in the World Cup winning days, but they've got fantastic looking players in loads of positions, and they're just not doing it for whatever reason. And sooner or later, boards always work out. They think that's the manager. Now, it's maybe completely unfair, But that is the conclusion they're going to come to, isn't it, if things don't pick up very, very soon.
Yeah. On to the bottom three. Is it going to be the same bottom three you just see getting out of it? Forest, they're going to do a bit more business, according to Steve Cooper. Emmanuel Dennis, he's on his way out. It hasn't really worked. So they're turning. He won't get a testimonial, I wouldn't think. So can Forest get out of it, do you think? Do you have the faith that they won't go down, Danny?
Good coach.
Yes, he's a good coach. I suspect if I put me against a wall and picked one of the bottom three to survive, I'd say Wolves, because they have good players and a manager who will get to grips with them. Forest, again, can you accommodate all the changes they had in the hurly-burly of the Premier League? I'm not sure. All I do know is that Serge Aurier is better than any of the right backs at Spurs, and that's not a good sign, is it?
It's another
one
of those.
Look like Brazil 70 in the second half the other day.
Big six-pointer tomorrow night, Southampton, Nottingham Forest. But let's have a look at Wolves. You said, Danny, you think they're going to have enough. With a lot of experienced coach like Lopetegui and what they have at their disposal just to have enough to get out the bottom
they
three.
Will, they'll bring in a striker. They are doing at the moment, aren't they? Yeah. And even if it's on loan, because all they're lacking is the goals to go with the midfield
play.
They
have been for two seasons. They gave United a good game on the weekend, though. So,
now, with respect, Southampton don't have a very experienced or top-level coach in the Lopetegui mould. They have a good, young, up-and-coming coach. He's been calling today, as Nathan Jones, to get some results further before the fans turn sour, if it all goes pear-shaped. It's not looking good for them, Danny, is it?
Look, Southampton are one of those clubs that we often look at over the years and say, look how well run they are. But sooner or later, the competitiveness of the Premier League, if you only have to make a couple of poor decisions managerially or recruitment-wise, and suddenly your team looks like a contender for relegation. They're certainly that. What's going to keep them up? James Ward-Prowse, I'm not, wonderful footballer that he can be on his day. I just don't see they got enough to stay up. I mean, and that's nothing to do with Nathan Jones. They just haven't got the talent to stay in that league.
Yeah. I did say an up-and-coming young coach. He's nearly 50. But
that's how it seems on this show, isn't it?
I think he's a whippersnapper in my eyes.
Yeah.
So we are.
We did it.
We somehow squeezed in.
Well done,
there'll be people complaining they didn't get as long as others. I thought Chelsea had a bit too much time, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
But Danny, we'll catch up with you. It'll be a normal weekend's football, and we will catch up with you next Monday.
Can't wait.
Of course, FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh,
I'm expecting a really long run in the Cup this year.
I'm sure you are, yes. Giant killing. Thanks, Danny. All the best. Thank you.
Bless you all. Happy New Year, everyone. Cheers.
There we are. There's Danny Kelly will be joining us on Monday, as always. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Now, a managerial appointment, which has surprised some, is Scott Parker. He has taken over Club Bruges, a very good side, still in the Champions League. So he's got something to look forward to next year. It's a bit of a... Well, I don't know. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, I mean, how do you compare Fulham and Bournemouth to Club Bruges in terms of...
Especially a Champions League team, especially a team that's gone well in the autumn. I'm surprised the manager's gone. I wonder what happened to him.
Let's find out. Christophe Terreur, Belgian football expert, joins us. Hi, Christophe.
Hello, guys.
Is there a surprise in Belgium about this appointment? What's the word been among the Bruges fans?
Well, the real diehards were still known... Scott Parker as a player, I think, and even as a manager from his short time at Bournemouth in the Premier League, of course, and from Fulham. But basically, for the general public, it was a quite unknown name. It's not the household name you would have expected, also because Club Brugge, they talked with Steven Gerrard, for instance, which is a name that everybody also in Belgium knows, but not Scott Parker, to be fair.
At Sartorial, he's a very, very well turned out man, very smartly dressed when you go to his press conferences, Christophe. Very fashionable. And he favours a particular designer. You'll notice kind of four stripes in the Adidas style, but with an extra stripe.
Yeah, it's
four, like it's kind of four, it's like four hoops around the sleeve, isn't it? four hoops round us. Anyway, he has it on the jackets, he has it on the jumpers, and he wears a lot of these clothes by a designer called Tom Brown. And our first reaction was, where's he going to get his Tom Brown stuff from? So our producer did some research and discovered that Tom Brown has a shop in Antwerp. 40 minutes on the train, Christoph. He can be there. He can be there in that retail wonderland picking out a new outfit for the next match.
Well, it's on paper 40 minutes, but knowing the Belgian train system, it would take him at least 2 hours in a bad train. It's basically, it's even worse than the trains between London and Manchester, to be fair. So I think he can take the car, but there are always huge traffic jams around Antwerp too. So basically, he should just do delivery or send someone to Antwerp to get his Tom Brown stuff. It's good to know. I didn't know. I looked at one of the pictures yesterday where he had those four straps, and I was even wondering which brand it was. So you helped me out now. Tom Brown anecdote. So
he might go for Dries van Noten, the well-known Belgian fashion.
Yeah. Oh, yes, this is good Belgian design. What's his trademark, Andy? What's the Dries van Noten stuff like? Is it
it's very fashionable?
Is it really? Mm. Is it a bit out there? Is it?
It's quite out there, isn't it?
What Dries van Noten. I'm looking
and Ralph Simons, for instance, who's worked with a lot of English brands like
this. Perry. Yeah.
I'm looking at one of something from the Dries van Noten collection. It's like
I could see him.
Can you see this, Andy? I'm going to show you a picture of camera too. It's a kind of house coat. Nelson Mandela wearing a house coat is very much the look, and it's actually a raincoat. Can you imagine Scott on the sidelines? We'll post that out. Anyway, just very quickly before we let you go, Christoph, before Christmas, I think we spoke about that advertisement that the Belgian FA put out in search of a new manager. Cool. Do any of your contacts tell you that they've had some sort of good applications for the job? Are they any closer to making an appointment? They've been interviewing people?
Well, not yet. They wait till the 10th of January for the application. So everybody's interested and listening now to TalkSport can still send his application to the Belgian Federation. But there have been no names. Only Romelu Lukaku has said that he wants Thierry Henry to be the next Belgian manager. So that's a huge push. But yeah, Henry, just like all other people working at the Belgian Federation, will have to apply for the job too. So he will have to send his CV as successful manager. So let's see. But there have not been many other names than the ones we mentioned before. So they're just waiting for a surprise candidate. And as Club Brugge president is part of the task force. Maybe Scott Parker was one of those who applied for the Belgian job, and then he took it for Club Brugge. That's a possibility.
Put his CV in the back pocket while he was at the Belgian FA and sneaked out. Yeah, good to talk to you, Christoph. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. There's Christoph Terreur, their Belgian football expert.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
We talked a lot about him, obviously, over the years with you, and I know you've sort of spoken to him and interviewed him over the years.
I haven't actually.
Oh, you
haven't.
Didn't? I thought you did.
No.
Really?
No, I tried to once, because really most of everything he did was like public relations, and it was hard to do anything serious with him. But there was a time when he was sports minister. This is second half of the 90s, which was interesting. And he brought in freedom of contract for Brazil's players. And he just let his guard drop. He said, you know, when I was at the height of my powers, meaning late 60s, early 70s, when he was really important, and he helped João Havelange get elected as FIFA president. That's how influential he was. But he said, you know, when I was at the height of my powers, I didn't do enough to help. Didn't do enough to help other footballers, or I could have done more. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought, there's an in there. He's let his guard down. Let's get in there and investigate that one. So I tried to, and as he was sports minister, he was he was more open to those kind of things. So I tried to get an interview with him, but they said I would have to go to New York to do it.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't have money for a bus fare to the other side of Rio. So that one died a death.
That's no good, is it?
I met him on a bus in New York. He was doing a junket for MasterCard, and he was sort of around the corner from Bloomingdale's when the World Cup draw was there, about, what, 90, end of 91? And he was just on this bus, and you just sort of queued up and shook his hand, and he gave you an autograph. He was all very... Did you ever try and get him on a Phoenix? Did you ever attempt
to...
I mean, that would have been a big... Would have been a tough booking, wouldn't it?
I never met him, and we never tried.
Although we did speak to him on the phone, wasn't it, on the show.
We had Ivo Victor on, who was the goalkeeper.
We did, the goalkeeper in that game that he tried to chip the halfway line. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, we'll play out to him. Good to talk to you as always. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it. Cheers.
And we will play out with Pelé. Sing it when we spoke to him about the Sergio Mendes album. Mm. He did join in, so we'll play out with a great man. Rekindling the affection he had for Sergio Mendes and working with him in the studio.
I did it with Sergio Mendes in Los Angeles.
Mm.
Then he asked me to record with his group. They said, no, you sing. They said, no, you have to sing. Then I sing. La 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 ya. La 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 ya. La la ya. La 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 ya.
That's fantastic.
You still remember it.
You still remember it. That's
good. Here we are.
Yeah, that's great. Singing, we said about 12 there on that one. It's that's amazing, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
In the meantime, Andrew, do you have anything for us?
Yes, I've got a few bits and bobs.
Yeah.
This was interesting. They monitored Radio 4 have a thing where they give out racing tips.
Oh, yes.
And apparently, it's been a bit of a disaster, really. Only 108 paid out. In fact, if you'd have put a pound on every single thing, you would have lost 69 quid.
Oh, okay.
So I think they should use Lizzie Kelly, not Rupert, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, not Rupert's not great for his tips, certainly not.
Now, talking of tips.
Yes, talking of tips.
Alex Gorry, who writes it's a racing line, you can phone him up for his tips. But honestly, he's had the same advert now. This advert went out of date after Cheltenham last year.
Yeah. Is he saying lump on the Jinski?
Yeah, he's saying, in 2021, I had close to my best Cheltenham Festival and Royal Ascot meetings, and I've been tipping racehorses for 35 years. Don't miss this year. Well, we have, because we already missed it. It was last year. This was yesterday's
Well, it's not
paper.
This year. It's,
wait, this is 2023. Oh, just update the ad. For goodness sake, it's so irritating.
The things that vex you, Andy, really sitting there shouting at the newspaper.
It's not
now,
good.
Michael Smith plays tonight. It's going to be live on TalkSport 2, the final of the PDC World Darts Championship. He hopes to make it third time lucky, does Michael. And he's got his own way of preparing. Throughout the games,
he
spent the morning in bed watching old episodes of Catchphrase.
Really?
That's how he gets his game face on. That's how he gets him. So he sits there quite late, sort of mid-morning, and watches old Catchphrases. Because he said, I watch them because there's nothing on the TV at that time. Well, I thought I would check that out.
You've been very good on research today.
This is the research I've done today. Never mind how many goals a team has scored. I won't be getting a job with Opta. I've looked up what was on the telly this morning for Michael Smith before the final. And, of course, talking microwaves.
Yeah.
Had he turned on to ITV2, he could have watched Celebrity Supermarket Sweep. That might have been a nice alternative. There was an old George and Mildred on ITV3.
Oh, that would have been good.
If he fancies some classic commentary. Get him laughing before the final. Yeah. There was a Sweeney, if he fancies a touch more violent.
Might be a bit of darts in the pub.
There could have been some darts in the pub. That's right. Get a move on George and all that. A Big Bang Theory, if he likes a bit more modern comedy than George and Mildred. That was on. A Place in the Sun, which he'll be able to afford. With change, I would imagine, if he wins this evening. Nothing to declare. I mean, nothing makes you get your game face on like shifty people trying to smuggle seeds into Australia, I would say. So you definitely watch Nothing to Declare if you're on that channel. Rick Stein's...
It's odd, that programme, though, Nothing to Declare. Sue likes that. It's often on when I come in. It's...
Yeah.
It's always the same.
Yeah, it is. It's always the same. And sometimes if you forget to turn the channel over, they put it on back-to-back for about 6 hours.
That's right.
So it's basically, it's 3 hours of the same telly. But people love it. Rick Stein's Cornwall, and he could probably afford to eat in one of Rick's restaurants if he wins this evening. Not if he loses, of course. Classic Holby City.
Mm.
You know, somebody falling off their bike, that gets you in the mood for the darts. I'm nearly done, don't worry. There's a tipping point as an alternative to Catchphrase. There was The Buildings That Fought Hitler. You could have watched that on...
That sounds tremendous.
That's on the Yesterday channel. I don't know how they did it. Or Posh Pawnbrokers, just some of the options for Michael Smith. But I would imagine you're not going to bock it. If you've been on a run like him...
That's the thing, once you're doing well...
You're going to be watching Catchphrase.
Does he go Roy Walker or Stephen Mulhern?
I don't know what era. I imagine it's probably on Challenge, isn't it? I imagine it's old classic Roy, what you see, isn't it?
That's true.
Anyway, good luck, Michael. Mm. And, should be a fascinating game, and it's live this evening on TalkSport 2.
And a couple of good tabloid thesauruses here where you can't use the same word twice.
Right.
Mayonnaise sales are booming despite consumers joining the taste for other sauces this year.
Yes.
The creamy condiment.
That's good, I like
that's
that.
Right, isn't it?
That's very good.
Who doesn't like a creamy condiment?
Oh, well, yeah.
It's Sorry. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Anything else?
Oh, Graham Potter, that was good. He was talking about the gamer the other day after the match. He went, "It's a below par one for us." One? Are you serious? Oh, well.
You're not having him, Andy, already?
No, I'm not really, but I could be wrong. I keep thinking of Arteta. I keep thinking, like, well, you stay with somebody and it's a good idea. And
you've got a lot of players to come back. I feel like I'm talking you down slightly, and I've got no interest in it. But, I mean, you've got a lot of very good players to come back from injury.
That was an amazing stat, wasn't it, that Martin Tyler gave us the other day, that Chilwell and James have only played together twice in the last 42 games.
Wow.
That doesn't help,
both,
does it?
You know, we know why. They both had sort of long-term injuries.
Yeah, you know, that's true. But
Who have you got in the cup, Andy, this weekend?
Oh, Manchester City away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That should guarantee a nice long run, shouldn't it? And then we've got them on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Just what you need when you're playing really well.
We've got plenty of cup soccer for you this weekend. We've got Manchester United, Everton, kick you off Friday night. Then we've got Tottenham, Portsmouth, Saturday. Gillingham, Leicester. Blackpool, Nottingham Forest, Brentford, West Ham, and Liverpool versus Wolves. Oh, man, the hits just keep on coming on Sunday. Cardiff, Leeds, and yes, City versus Chelsea, 4:30 on Sunday.
Yeah. So I mean, a good cup run can, you know, lift your season. So, you know, it's hard to expect.
Brentford, your other club, have proved that, you know, you can go there and get a result.
I'm still getting all that stick.
Well, they are your other club.
Well, I like going there, yeah. I mean, you know, but
you must come on
them.
When they score, don't you? Aren't you up punching?
Well,
no,
I feel guilty if I'm up and doing that. I don't.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying when they play Chelsea, when they play other teams.
No, even when they play other teams, I'm pleased. I don't feel the need to.
How do you show you're pleased? Just a round of applause.
Good goal, well played. That's
you must
it.
Just look Tuggies like an away fan trying to cover their back so you don't get a good hide.
I could do.
You stay in your seat and you just applaud.
Yeah.
If you just joined us, Andy is a big Chelsea fan. I'm sorry about if you've just joined us.
But he's noticed.
Yeah, Brentford's near his house, so he's bought a season ticket for Brentford, and he just likes going there. He likes taking.
It's great. Yeah, I can walk there. It's fantastic. I love the atmosphere. I really admire the way the club's run.
Yeah.
And we might be talking to Peter Gillam, who does the PA the line, and it's such a great. He was honoured in the New Year's Honours list, and he's just typical of people who work for Brentford. You know, there's just something about it's a family club. Whenever I talk about, of course, Chelsea, we'll go and support them then, you know, but you can't. You can only support the team you really support. If Brentford lose, I'm disappointed, but I'm not gutted. I'm not fit to be tied like I was the other day when they only got a draw with Forest. You know, I know there is a difference. I know the difference.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again tomorrow, poring over the games in the Premier League this season.
I never want to hear the name Scott Stallings again.
Scott Stallings. We've got to get him on. Is he Stallings or let's play Stallings or Stallings? It's a great game, isn't it? Anyway, thanks for listening. We will catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.